The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. In today's sermon, we see a faith that obeys in the midst of questioning. When God told Abraham to sacrifice his most prized possession, his only son Isaac, there were surely questions in the minds of both Abraham and Isaac. But in the midst of those questions, they both faithfully followed God's commands. What a faith this demonstrated. Would we be willing to lay it all on the altar like Abraham, or submit in faith like Isaac? Join us today as we see the faith that obeys even when the questions abound. Due to the length of this sermon, we won't have a song today, but we'll go right into the message.
Tonight, we want to go back to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews and pick up sort of where we left off on Wednesday night. You may recall last Sunday night we were talking about the faith that obeys. Now remember where we are in the book of Hebrews. We're in the 11th chapter. It's the great hall of faith. We are dealing with this question of faith and seeing how it was worked out in the lives of some of the most famous characters in the scripture. We saw in verses 8 through verse 10 that Abraham obeyed through faith without question. He didn't question God. He just picked up and moved when God said for him to. We also saw, though, in verses 11 and 12 that Sarah had some faith. Now, we don't usually think about Sarah as being faithful. We think about her laughing. And she did. She laughed initially. But see, Abraham's initial faith was faith that obeyed without question. Sarah's faith was the kind of faith you and I usually have, which is the faith that obeys after questioning God. You ever run into that situation where you don't really trust God to start with? And you're like the man who called for Jesus to come heal his daughter. And Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And he says, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. That's generally where I live, Brother Craig. I stay in that area of somewhat believing and somewhat unbelieving. But you know, we see with Sarah that she was actually faithful after initially she was not. She initially laughed at God. And in fact, God, I love the way, I truly believe the Lord has a sense of humor. God named her son Laughter, Isaac. That's what Yitzhak in Hebrew means. Isaac means laughter. Every time she saw this son, every time she called his name, she remembered, I'm sure, that she initially laughed. And then later on, she laughed a laugh of faith, we're told. We saw that last Wednesday night, how that her faith that was initially very weak became very strong. And she ended up being a faithful woman, a faithful child of God. See, that's through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive this seed, okay? And then we've come down to the point where in verse 17, Abraham is called upon to exhibit the most amazing type of faith that there is. That's faith that obeys in the midst of questioning. In the midst of questioning. You know, sometimes I'm faithful enough that I don't question and I just go and do what God says. Sometimes I'm faithless enough that I don't even think about following God. I just question Him. But later on, I end up doing what's right. I end up following Him in faith. But the times of the greatest faith, I believe, are when even though we're in the midst of questioning God, even though in our human side, our human nature, we question God's commands, we do them anyway. We obey anyway. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. We all know that this comes from Genesis chapter 22, so we're going to turn back over there tonight and use a good portion of this chapter in our looking at this. But I want us to just set the stage here by asking the question, would you put your Isaac on the altar? Would you put your Isaac? Would I put my Isaac on the altar? We all have an Isaac. See, Isaac was Abraham's only begotten son. Now, it wasn't the only son he had, but it was the only legitimate son that God recognized. God did not recognize Ishmael as Abraham's legitimate heir. Ishmael was conceived through the efforts of men to help God out. And you know the rest of that story, that what we see in the Middle East going on right now is a result of the Ishmael incident back over in the scriptures. But look what happens here. God gives him a son that he promised. And now God has said to Abraham, you're going to have to sacrifice your Isaac. And I just want to say as we look at this that there are times in our lives when we are called upon to sacrifice our Isaac. Now, I don't mean literal human sacrifice. This is the only instance in Scripture where we read that God even came close to demanding a human sacrifice. And God was always going to have a substitution here, a substitutionary sacrifice. Abraham didn't know it though. Now look what's happened. Abraham, no doubt, had questions when this commandment came. In chapter 22 of Genesis, in verse 1, we read, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, can you imagine the look on Abraham's face when God came to him and said, Abraham, you're going to have to sacrifice your most prized possession. You see, that's what Isaac was. Isaac was his most prized possession. He was the child of promise. He was the child. You remember back in, go back to Genesis 11 and verse 30, you read that Sarah was barren. She could not have children, okay? And yet in chapter 12, he immediately turns around and God has makes this promise that when he gets out from his kindred and from his father's house in that land of Ur, he said, I will make thee of thee a great nation and will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and in thee all families of the earth shall be blessed. And yet there's Abraham who is married to a barren woman who could not bear children according to nature. You know what God did? God, as we've already seen, God blessed them miraculously to have a child. And by the way, one of the reasons I believe that he did not recognize Ishmael, because if you recall, when the Ishmael incident occurred, Sarah was unable, she had been unable to bear children, and she was past the time of women for bearing children. But Abraham was not past the time of men for fathering children. He was the natural father through no miraculous means. He just went in under that little Egyptian handmaid, Hagar, and he was still capable through natural means to father a child. You know, one of the reasons I don't believe God recognized that is because God was waiting until Abraham also was dead according to nature. He was dead. He was unable. By the time of Isaac's conception, Abraham, according to nature, was unable to father children. And yet God restored unto him and unto Sarah the time of life. And miraculously, they had a child. And notice that God did not fulfill the promise that he made to him by giving him 19 kids and counting. You remember that show, 19 kids and counting? He gave him one child. He gave him one son, and that was it, you see. And he gave him that child after he hit the century mark in his life. Isaac was his most prized possession. He was the child of promise. And Isaac had cost Abraham a lot. Ishmael had to be cast out because of Isaac. And how heartbreaking it was to him. You remember back in the 17th chapter? When God came to him, he was reaffirming the promise. You know, Abraham loved Ishmael. He said, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." That child had grown up to about, I believe it was 12 years old by the time that Isaac was born. And ultimately, he was probably about 14 or, you know, 15, maybe 16 years old. In the previous chapter, turn back just to the previous chapter, to chapter 21, and look at verse 9 there. In verse 9, Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac." Boy, there's a lot of preaching there. You go over to the book of Galatians and you'll realize that this is an allegory as well. It literally happened, but it points us to the fact that the promise is through the spiritual side and not through the physical side. And it says, verse 11, "The thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son." And ultimately, God had to tell him, "It's okay, and in fact, you must cast out the bondwoman and her son." Clearly, it hurt him. Isaac had cost Abraham a lot. His other son, who had been with him for 15 or 16 years, was turned out because of Isaac, and Isaac was his only flesh and blood left. And notice that Isaac was the blessing at the end, so to speak, of a long, hard road. It's really the fulfillment of his life's dreams, is that he finally had an heir. God had promised him way back in Ur, and I don't know how far back that was. We know that he was 75 when he left the city of Haran, but he had moved from Ur to Haran sometime before that. So it had been at least 25 years since Isaac, from the time he had left Haran until Isaac was born and that promise was fulfilled. And now Isaac, we're going to see, was probably, he may have been in his 20s or 30s, but he was at least in his teens or early 20s at this point. And now Isaac here is at the end of a long, hard road. His journey had led him from Ur to Egypt. It had led him back to Canaan. It had led him through wars. It had led him through family problems and split ups of the family. And this promise went unfulfilled for all those many years. And finally, Isaac was here. And now, all this heartache and all this struggle and all this grief and all the faith I've shown, Lord, and yet you still demand Isaac. You still demand Isaac. You know, I have to think about putting myself in Abraham's place, and I just don't know how I would react. I do know I'd have many, many questions. But let's look at what Abraham did. Abraham no doubt had questions, but Abraham had no doubt about obeying God. He had no doubt. Look, going back to Genesis 22, look what happened there beginning in verse 3. God has just said, "You're going to have to sacrifice your son." And he says, look at what he did. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Look at the hard work. Look at the hard work. He rose up early to do God's will. He didn't, you know, I'd have been tempted that day to sleep a little bit later. That would have been kind of the day that I didn't want to get going real early because I was having to leave and go sacrifice my son. And yet he rose up early and he worked hard to do it. It says he saddled his ass. He took his two young men with him. And then he had to split the wood. He had to cut the wood to get it ready for the burnt offering. Yeah, I'd have been tempted to go through the motions. I think we all would, but not Abraham. Abraham, in the midst of all the questions he no doubt had, he nevertheless had no doubt about obeying God's will. And look at verse 4, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Can you think about the hard nights that he had? Not only was it hard work to get going, it were some hard nights. Three days it took him to journey. And during those 3 days, as he sat around the campfire at night, looking across the fire there at his only son, Isaac, knowing that this was not a journey that was exciting. I don't know about the young man. Maybe he was excited. Maybe he wasn't. I know he didn't know everything that was going on because he asked some questions later. But, you know, when you're kind of younger, you kind of get excited about a journey like this. But Abraham is no doubt sitting there on those nights thinking and pondering and wondering and questioning. Some hard nights for 3 days. 3 days he had to journey to think about what was coming. Verse 5, Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Then Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Boy, he had some hard decisions to make on this trip, didn't he? He took the wood that, as far as he knew, he was going to burn his son's lifeless body on, and he laid the wood upon the back of his son. Now, let me just stop right here and point out the obvious. Isaac is a type of Christ. Now, I'm not going to spend much time on that tonight, maybe, but I will have to spend a little bit. But just understand that all of this is going to ultimately point us to Christ. But I don't want us to think about that so much tonight as to put ourselves in the place of Abraham, who didn't know the outcome. We do. We know all about this. I remember the time Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac and God saved him. But Abraham didn't know that. Abraham was acting in faith. Even in the midst of the hard work and the hard nights and the hard decisions, he was going, in verse 9, you're going to see that he bound his son Isaac and laid him upon the altar on the wood. What a hard decision that would be. Can you imagine when he's taking the knife out of the sheath and getting ready to carry it up the hill, up the mountain to the place of sacrifice? What a hard decision that would be. And listen, he faced some hard questions too, didn't he? Look at verse 8. And Abraham's, in verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." You know, I can just see myself in Abraham's place there and my son coming up beside me with the wood, helping me carry the very thing that is going to be his doom upon his back, and dreading the question. Don't you know he's been thinking all this time? He's going to be asking me some questions. He's going to be asking me what we're doing because we don't have a sacrifice here with us. Here it comes. Can you just see him tense up a little bit there and thinking, here comes the question. He says, "My father," and Abraham said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, Isaac said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Isaac knew what was coming. Let me just stop and say that here. Isaac was not some little bitty boy. I don't think we can say for sure how old he was, and if it was necessary to know how old he was, God would have told us. So we're not going to spend too much time on that. But just understand, though, from this, the context clues, and if you go back and look at Sarah's age and you try to put it together, I think some scholars estimate that he was between 20 and 30. Some say he was 33 years old, a perfect type of Christ, but I don't think we can say for certain that. But he was at the very least in his early teens. He was able to help his father. He was old enough to help carry the wood up the hill, up the mountain there. He was old enough to think on his own and to reason. He was old enough to know what a sacrifice was required. He was old enough to put two and two together and to realize we don't have a sacrifice. What's happening here? And can you imagine? See, I believe when you continue reading here, you're going to see that we're talking about Isaac's faith too. We're not just talking about Abraham's faith. You remember what it said back over in Hebrews? It said, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only son, and of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. And the very next verse that we'll get to later on says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. See, he goes on to tell us that Isaac was a faithful man as well. Do you think he was beginning to learn the meaning of faith right here? What a crucible for his faith to be tried in, because we don't read that Abraham had to struggle with Isaac. We don't read that he had to chase him down and hit him over the head and incapacitate him. We read that this young man, who no doubt could have fought his father, was bound and put on the altar, laid upon the wood that he had carried on his very back. See, Isaac knew something was up. He said, my father, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And this is where we see that Abraham had full faith in God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. See, this is where Abraham's faith comes full circle. Abraham had been educated in the school of faith. God had admitted him to the university of faith when he brought him out of Ur, and he began to teach him what faith really means. And Abraham had passed many, many tests. He'd failed some. He had passed many tests. We're told here that God was tempting him. Now, that doesn't mean he was tempting him with sin, because God doesn't tempt anybody with sin. The idea here is he was trying him. He was teaching him in a sense. God knew how faithful Abraham would be, but Abraham needed to know how faithful he could be. And the people around him as well. And here's Abraham's response. He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Now here's the point where Isaac could have said, no way. I'm checking out of this deal. I'm running back down the mountain. I'm going to call DHR. I'm gonna go to the authorities. You're abusing me. But notice what really happened. So they went, both of them, together. When I read that, I just almost tear up. Because what you have here, you remember this morning, those of you that were here, we preached about children being obedient and honoring their parents. What an obedient son Isaac is. Because you see, Isaac, whatever age he was, he had faith in God, no doubt, but clearly he had faith in his own father. He trusted him. He didn't run away. He didn't question. He just went together with his father. You remember God's question to Sarah back over in the 18th chapter? He asked the rhetorical question. He says, is there anything too hard for God? Over in the book of Romans, in the 4th chapter, we read another summary of Paul, if you believe Paul wrote Hebrews, and I do. If you don't, that's fine, but we read Paul's summary in Romans of Abraham's faithfulness, his faith. Look at verse 16. Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to that which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope, speaking of Abraham here, who against hope believed in hope. See, that's the faith of Abraham. That's what faith truly is. It's hope when there is no hope. It's faith in God when everything in the circumstances said you shouldn't trust him. Who against hope believed in hope. See, that's the kind of hope we have when someone passes from this life. As we were burying Brother Warren last week, that's the kind of hope we had. It didn't look like there was any hope. He passed from this life. There was nothing here but his body, his physical body, but there was hope. His body sleeps in the cemetery right now. But yet I have hope, and his family has hope that one day the body will burst forth from the grave and he will be resurrected. You see, it's the hope that's against hope, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many, many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. You see, God had promised Abraham that his seed would be as numerous as the sands of the sea and as the stars in the sky, but yet now his only seed, his only son, is about to be sacrificed at the commandment of God. How can you have hope in that circumstance? Well, here's the hope. He says, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You see, what Abraham did is that even when it appeared that there was no hope for a child, he trusted God, and God gave him a child. And now, when there's no hope, if we sacrifice his Isaac, and Isaac dies, there's no hope left for this promise of God, yet it says that he had faith that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. How is it that he had faith? Verse 19 of Hebrews 11, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. You see what Abraham was doing here? He was going forward. Abraham didn't know that there would be a ram caught in the thicket. He told Isaac back in Genesis 22:8, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And then they went together because he had absolute faith that God in some way was going to spare Isaac. And even if it meant that he would sacrifice Isaac and God would resurrect him from the dead, don't tell me that the Jews didn't believe in the resurrection. You know, that's what many in one of my classes in religious studies courses over at the University of Alabama back in the 80s, and I took one called The Jewish Experience, and the teacher told us that there really wasn't no such thing as an afterlife or a resurrection theology in the Old Testament days of the Jews. But beloved, I want to say to you, Abraham didn't understand it that way. Abraham believed in a resurrection theology. Abraham believed, he had full faith in God's faithfulness. Because if you remember back in verse 5, Abraham told those young men, he said, you abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. It's not just Abraham that's coming back. I and the lad will come back. We're both coming back. You know why? Because he knew that God would provide himself a lamb. And that's exactly what happened here in a literal sense. It says, they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I don't believe Abraham was hesitating. I don't believe he was saying, okay, I'm about to do it, Lord. Okay. You know how we do sometimes. He wasn't doing that. He was ready to go through with it. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. And we're told it was his only begotten son over in the book of Hebrews. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. God will provide himself the lamb. Now we know that this is a figure of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Abraham didn't know that. Abraham was just in the midst of all of his questioning, in the midst of all the struggles mentally that he must have had. In the midst of all the heart struggles, the tugging on his heartstrings, that it noted, Abraham was an emotional man. It had already grieved him to have to send away his son Ishmael. He loved Ishmael. He loved Isaac. He was the one that all his hopes was put upon, Isaac. And yet he knew that God was faithful. And see, that's the kind of faith that obeys in the midst of questioning. Even when we question God, even when there are things that cause us to think to ourselves in the flesh and from the circumstances that there's no way this can work out, beloved, we can trust a God who loves us with such an everlasting love that he purposed from eternity past to save us from our sins. Sometimes the service of God requires us to give some things up. We're very blessed by God that he doesn't often require us to give everything up. But sometimes he does. Are we willing to give up all in the service of God like Abraham was? See, that's the kind of faith that God praises. That's the kind of faith that God seeks. That's the kind of faith that we need to aspire to as we serve him. Are we willing to give up all in the service of God? A job, our car, our home, our school, our habits, places we used to hang out, things we used to do, people we used to hang out with, our TV programs, our time, my goodness, our time. How many times do we say we just don't have time to go visit that person, or we don't have time to spend hours upon the phone helping somebody? Are we willing to rise up early in the morning, saddle our ass, and take whatever we have, our young men, our servants, our workers, our family with us, and Isaac, our son, and cleave the wood for the burnt offering and ride 3 days in a journey to the place for which God has told us? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to place our Isaac on the altar of service? Now understand, we're not talking about sacrificing something in order to go to heaven, but we're talking about sacrificing in service to the God who has sacrificed that we will be in heaven, you see. Is your Isaac on the altar? I'm afraid sometimes mine isn't. But if we would follow the example here of Abraham and Isaac and obey God, even when it's not easy, even when we question God, trust God, even when things look dire, circumstances look dire and depressing, we can trust our God. Because you see, there was a time when God sent that lamb, when God sent that perfect lamb, when God sent that sacrifice down here to this graveyard we call earth. And there was a time, if you recall, in a garden called Gethsemane, when he was in agony and his soul was in pain and torture as he anticipated what was coming on the cross, when he would not just die, but he would become sin for us and become the perfect sacrifice for sin, every single sin that, that all of his people have committed down through the ages of time, and he would even be separated in some sense from his Father in order to do that. See, that's the God we can trust. He was willing to give up all for us. We ought to be willing to give up all in service to him.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. I hope the message has been uplifting and beneficial to you, and that the Lord will continue to bless you to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Join us again tomorrow for another message of God's sovereign grace. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.